Yes. What? Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views. The views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of America, the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for a few minutes. We have with us a very special guest this evening, Bill Sardi. But before we get to Bill, I just want to make a comment on a couple of things I just heard on the news. And one of them, of course, is that Al Gore is planning on leading a consortium of people with a great deal of money to set up a liberal television network across America and Canada to counter why Fox and Bill O'Reilly, which is supposedly conservative. And let me simply point out that they will try to convince you that Fox News Network is conservative. It's really not. They're never going to tell you the whole truth. If Bill O'Reilly told you the whole truth, he'd be out of there tomorrow. It's sort of, at one time, Drudge was given that. Who does the Drudge Report? Matt Drudge. And he was the commentator. He had Bill O'Reilly's position. He wanted to run the story. It actually showed a picture. It was of a intrauterine surgery, and of course, his little tiny hand is reaching out of the uterus, inner utero. That's in utero surgery. They delivered the uterus on the mother's stomach, and the little hand is reaching out towards the surgeon's finger. And of course, it's a very a beautiful picture. It's showing the fact that the child inside the mother's womb is alive. And when Drudge wanted to show that on Fox television, they told him he couldn't show that, and so he walked out of the studio and gave up a 6 or 7 figure salary. Because, of course, he wouldn't compromise his principles. Bill O'Reilly has that job. He compromises his principles, but they want to make you think it's conservative, and they keep emphasizing how conservative Fox News is. Fox is run by Rupert Murdoch, and when he went to school as a youth, he was known as Rupert the Red. He had a bust of Lenin, which he kept on his desktop, and some people say he still has that bust of Lenin. So if you really think that this is conservative, why, you probably believe we're a democracy and not a republic. The second issue I wanted to talk about is the fact that over in Iraq, we're talking about getting another $87 billion. And, of course, $20 billion of that is going to go to rebuild Iraq, to double the amount of electricity they had when Saddam Hussein was there, to rebuild new schools, to rebuild new hospitals, to rebuild new medical clinics, to rebuild their roads and improve their water system far better than they had before. And, of course, there are a lot of people in the Senate who are saying, why don't we just lend them the money? They've got billions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars of oil in the ground. Let's lend them the money, but let's not make the American taxpayers, go ahead and pay for rebuilding Iraq, not rebuilding it to where it was before, but improving it far more than it ever was. And, of course, the Bush administration says we can't do that. After all, they owe $100 billion to Kuwait for war damages. And, of course, they owe $100 billion primarily to Russia and France. And so we want, of course, Russia and France to get that money back. So we want to give them the money. You know, we want the American taxpayers to put out the money. So when the money is repaid, it won't be repaid to the United States. It'll be paid to Russia. Now, why did Russia, of course, have all that money owed to them from Saddam Hussein? Because they'd been providing him with weapons. The French and the Russians have been providing Saddam Hussein with weapons in violation, usually many times, of the UN embargo. And what you have to really understand, if you look at it clearly, is this simply a means of transferring money from American taxpayers indirectly so that the Russians will get their money. And as it's always been, we create the best enemies money can buy. We want them to have the money so they can, the Russians I'm speaking of now, so they can continue building up their military at the expense of the American taxpayers. That's what it's really all about. But the average individual can't see it at all. They just think there's something strange. Gee, we want to give this money to Iraq, and then we want Iraq to use its oil revenues to pay back the Russians for all the military equipment that they give in Iraq. Well, this is basically a means of simply transferring our tax money to the Russians. Once again, we see what's been going on since 1918, and few Americans have understood. And that is that Russia has been financed by the United States since its very inception. We had to have a powerful enemy, and of course it took a lot of money to create that enemy. And if you haven't read Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution by Professor Anthony Sutton, we carry the book. It's so important. And with that behind us, let's get to our special guest this evening, Bill Sardi. Thank you so much for waiting patiently. I just wanted to get that information out so people could begin to look behind what's going on and understand there's always another agenda.
Well, there's certainly is worth listening to you, and I that's how I got started listening to you. I knew there was some truth to what you were saying, and I couldn't buy it all at that moment. But as I later got into studying a little more, I started taking notes and becoming a good student of your radio show. So.
Well, I'm sure you don't need much in the way of education right now, because Bill is one of the most knowledgeable people on what's going on, and he's constantly providing me with information off the Internet and other sources.
Well, you know, there are so many pieces of information, whether it's healthcare, the area that I'm in, or politics and world events, or history, which seems to be altered, changed, manipulated, or whatever. I mean, if anybody can't even see there's something wrong with that crazy ferry boat that hit over there in Staten Island, they came out with some phony story. The pilot tried to commit suicide, then it turns out all to be a phony story, and they had written it up in such great detail. And there's something wrong with that story. It one man does not direct a boat. You have people on shore. You have people with ropes, and you have to communicate with the people on shore. You have a guy down in the boiler room. One guy just can't do this. So there's something wrong there. Then they drove the boat around for 30 minutes with critically damaged and injured people on board. I mean, just listen. Just watch carefully and see if there isn't some sort of glitch in the news as you hear it. So obviously we're not getting the truth. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong with their story there. You don't drive around for 30 minutes with major injuries on a boat before you bring it into dock. So there's something wrong.
Well, maybe one of these days we'll be able to figure it out. But anyway, we were going to talk now, for those of you who don't know Bill Sardi, he's a health journalist, and he researches all the time matters dealing with health. So we're going to talk about some of the problems that plague us today and some of the solutions that he's come up with.
Well, of course, in the healthcare area, it's amazing to me how many people are struggling with their health. Today I got 4 or 5 phone calls from your listeners, and just people scratching their head, wanting to find an answer to some things. And of course, you read these things in the news, you have no idea whether they're true or not. One of the latest stories here in the last week is something for hearing loss, and they're talking about people that get exposed to loud noises. This goes anywhere from weapons fire in the military to the lawnmowers to music and disco parlors and all kinds of places. So loud music will do it. And what it does, it excites the hair cells in your ear. And, of course, you have problems because it disturbs those, and it creates something called free radicals, which we know are involved, antioxidants or the antidotes. And they're pointing out here that there's a new drug, and they're testing it on the Marines. And the drug just happens to be a nutritional supplement. All the research was done with United States government money, our money, the public's money, and now they're doing free studies for a private company, American Biologic Biohealth Group in the San Diego area, And all of this is being done free, and then basically they're going to make a nutritional supplement a drug. Come on, are you kidding me? This is an insult. We'll all get a chance to buy stock in a company that we funded with our own public money. I wrote letters to the local newspaper and to a few senators complaining about this, not any response back. This kind of thing goes on. And if you're exposed to loud noises and if you're concerned about losing your hearing and it happens to be age-related as well as iron-related, and more males get this problem than females, and certainly the industrial or whatever exposure to loud noise is involved, then you can just waltz on down to the health food store. And, you know, a couple things that might help you would be the simple mineral magnesium. Some vitamin C seems to help, and also there's a little sulfur compound in health food stores called NAC, Nancy, Apple, Charlie, and you can just pick that up anywhere. I happen to have helped the people at Health at Home Nutrition with their little lineup of food supplements here, and they have a little product here that puts all those in one formula for you. So if you're struggling with hearing, you'll save a little extra money instead of buying all those bottles. But the point is that we can go down to any health food store and get those things. You don't have to pay a lot of money, and that the military is now going to push this through and then get the United States Navy wants to get a royalty on it. As doctors prescribe this as a drug, it'll cost three times more because they'll be the only ones to be able to make the health claim that it does this. This is nonsense. Since the public money funded all the research, we should just turn it over to the public, tell people we can put this on the food supplement labels and leave it at that and save the public a lot of money. Instead, the United States Navy and everyone else is trying to cash in, including a privately run company that's funded by United States taxpayers. So the insult goes on and on and on here. So there's so many answers to things. I know that people listening, they're looking over their medicine cabinet and they would like to find a natural alternative to some of the drugs and medicines that they take, which are fraught with side effects, but they just don't have the guidance and the knowledge to do that. The biological action of virtually every prescription drug can be duplicated with dietary supplements. It doesn't matter whether you're taking ibuprofen or aspirin or Tylenol or maybe some prescription drugs. Even ACE inhibitors for blood pressure, it's simply mimicked with potassium you can get from a banana. And so they don't tell you these things, and so you end up with taking a medicine, and the medicine then ends up causing a nutritional deficiency and a side effect, and you're living with those problems. So,
you know, it's really very interesting. I go to medical meetings, not infrequently, just to keep up with what's going on. And this morning I went to a medical meeting at the local hospital, and they had two case presentations. The first one was for a chronic diarrhea related to something called a Clostridia difficile, and you get this because you've taken antibiotics. And, of course, it kills the bacteria, and then this other bacteria comes on and takes over and creates a membranous colitis. And these people are really sick and, you know, this constant diarrhea. And it's really hard to control, but it's a complication of course, being prescribed certain medications without, of course, being given a lactobacillus or other things to try to keep a proper bacterial colony in the intestine. And the second case was an older man who had back surgery. And, of course, after the back surgery, he had a lot of problems and it collapsed and came in extremely weak, and it turned out he had rhabdomyolysis. In other words, his muscles were all dissolving. And, of course, this was directly related to some of the medicine he was taking, and I assume it was taken for cholesterol control. And although, of course, we're told, oh, we've got to get the cholesterol down, well, you know, up until recently, the normal cholesterol was 230. And then, of course, because the cholesterol drug manufacturers said, oh, no, we got to get it down less than 200, and if you have over 200, why, you know, you're going to die of a stroke, so you got to take our medicine. Well, the trouble is that these medicines are not harmless. There are real complications, and one of this is this rhabdomyolysis, where your muscles dissolve away, and especially if these drugs interact with other medicines. So anything we do in the way of taking drugs really has all sorts of hazards with it, and of course none of these are totally harmless.
Well, let's go back over those two cases. The first one you gave was simply explaining that if you gave an antibiotic, which which does kill off bad bacteria. It also kills off the good bacteria in your digestive tract. That leaves room. Just think that you took all the grass off the front lawn. That leaves an open door for the weeds to get growing unless you put something back in there quickly. In other words, grass seeds. Seed it with what we call acidophilus, acid-forming bacteria, to reseed the lawn. Well, that's the very explanation of irritable bowel syndrome. That means frequent diarrhea. That's what we do. We over-prescribe antibiotics. We don't give good acidophilus after a course of antibiotics. We cause all these cases of irritable bowel. The second thing is that's the very description of what we say happens to young children, which is causing autism in their development years. We give them antibiotics. A bug takes over, Clostridium tetani. This is the tetanus bug. It gets in the digestive tract. It takes up residence. It's very hard to get rid of it. And it sends off neurological signals to the brain. And, of course, these children are abnormal. So your very first case presentation said, never take any of these antibiotics without taking a course of good bacteria for the unfamiliar on the radio. It's called Acidophilus. You can get it at health food stores. Make sure you take it in between the courses of antibiotics that you take. And, of course, your cholesterol, that's a whole great big story. Hundreds and hundreds of men and women will have to take cholesterol drugs for one person to save them from a heart attack. The cholesterol drugs essentially are liver toxins, as is niacin, one of the natural remedies. They're liver toxins. Your liver makes cholesterol. You don't want to take a liver toxin. I don't know whether you know it or not, but Tylenol is a liver toxin as well. And if you want to get your cholesterol normalized, be careful with those statin drugs because they reduce the levels of something called coenzyme Q10 in your body, and that causes the muscle wasting disease, which could rhabdomyolysis, which then can result and have a mortal consequence, and heart failure as well. So your numbers may go down, but you may not live any longer, and that's the problem, as many people have a heart attack with a cholesterol under 200 is over 300. But now I see they're forcing us into the statin drugs because the insurance companies are hiking our rates if our cholesterol is over 200. Can you imagine this? Now, certainly don't drop your cholesterol below 160 or so, because if you do, you're going to increase the risk of cancer. You're going to increase the risk of mental depression. Be careful about playing with numbers when you didn't have any disease in the first place. You weren't unhealthy. These are just numbers. They're conditions, not diseases. So, and the idea that the only way you can do it is with statin drugs and you can't do it with the diet, that's just been disproven in the last 3 months. They showed that something that mimics the Mediterranean diet does a good job of normalizing your cholesterol. You can do it with diet in just about 3 or 4 weeks. Cholesterol drugs take 2 or 3 months, and they're very expensive. So I did create a little dietary supplement for people that are trying to build healthy cholesterol levels, and it has no toxins to the liver in it. In fact, it cleanses out the liver, and it works on a different principle, and that simply is that our body makes, the liver makes bile for us to break up and digest fats. And then that bile is stored in our gallbladder, and the gallbladder is the squirt gun that shoots it into our stomach as we eat fatty foods. And if we'll just make more bile, we'll absorb more cholesterol, we'll break up our fats so they don't get caught in our bloodstream. It's a simple way to do this. It builds healthy cholesterol levels, along with other wonderful ways, magnesium, boron, and so on. All of these wonderful supplements, and I worked it up into a little formula so people don't have to take 6 bottles of things. We call it Normatrol. We'll be giving you a little phone number a little bit later. But for folks who want to learn more about cholesterol, they can go to my website, askbillsardi.com. You can download a 3-part report on cholesterol there. If you'd like to know more about a little product that might help you maintain healthy cholesterol levels, we're going to give you a little phone number here in a few minutes.
And that's S-A-R-D-I. I get people writing to me, and they say, well, I keep going into my computer and ask Bill Sardi, S-A-R-D-Y.
Oh, they're putting a Y at the end.
And so it's S-A-R-D-I, askbillsardi.com.
Yeah. So, and by my website is completely non-commercial. You'll find lots of references there for what I say and lots of wonderful reports there on everything from acne and Accutane to cholesterol to autism to hormone replacement therapy and tells women how to avoid breast cancer and so on. So there's some pretty desperate health people with desperate health conditions out there. They need answers. That's where you can find them.
All right. Well, we're going to have to just take a quick break here as far as our listeners up in the Great Northwest is concerned. And we'll be back in just about 4 minutes for you with our special guest this evening. His name is Bill Sardi. He's a health journalist. He's a health analyst. And certainly his information has been right on. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is, of course, Bill Sardi, and we're talking about some of the problems that plague people and, of course, some of the complications we can get into with traditional medicines. And now they had one of the statin drugs, one of the cholesterol drugs, and they were just pushing this all across America, and then people started dying. What was that? I don't really remember that. It was
Bacol.
And I don't know how many people had a massive myalysis, their muscles would dissolve, and of course many of these people would be permanently incapacitated because of it. And the company knew there were all sorts of problems, and I guess maybe they hoped they'd go away or something, and eventually they were just forced to take that off the market, after a number of people had died. I mean, significant number of people had passed away as a direct result of taking this drug to protect their cholesterol so they wouldn't die.
Well, there's a new drug on the market, Crestor. It's even worse and more powerful than all the other statin drugs ever used, and we believe it'll cause the same problems. But the medical establishment is looking the other way. There was evidence in the medical literature that there were having these kinds of problems before even the Bacol recall went through. And, of course, modern medicine said they had no idea this was happening until the Bacol tragedy hit. So they certainly did. It was right there. You can go to the National Library of Medicine and find it. So it was there in print, but they were looking the other way because they're making a lot of money. And, you know, doctors today are trying to find a way to get you back in the office. I can recall an intern is telling me that the goal of becoming an internal medicine specialist is to get 500 patients on blood pressure lowering drugs and then bring them back in every few months for rechecking. And none of those drugs work. They constantly rotate you from one to the other. And this makes the doctor the income that he gets because he keeps having you come back and you never get well. And some of these drugs are specifically designed so that you never do get well and you're constantly dependent on the drug. And there's no better example of that than the blood pressure lowering drugs, what we call the water pills or the thiazide diuretics. And of course, what they do is that if you have too much water in your system because you consume too much salt and not enough potassium to balance it out, then they give you a water pill to get the water out. The problem is that also gets rid of the potassium and the magnesium that sets you up for a sudden death heart attack. But then you'll never get well because if you get off of that, your body is depleted because that's what the drug did for you. So it's perfect. You can never get out of the syndrome of taking the drug. So it's an effective drug, but unfortunately, you can pay with your life. So,
of course, Bill, I think that the average doctor really is trying to do his best because he's never heard anything else. This is how he's trained. He's trained to use medications. This is how you accomplish, you know, getting the blood pressure down. And I lived with the doctors. I go to their meetings. They really want to help, but they've never heard that anybody ever suggest that maybe the reason we lowered the normal level for cholesterol from 230 to 200 was to force doctors into a position where it would be almost malpractice not to offer the statin drugs. And, of course, doctors are forced by medical ethics to go along with what everybody else is using, and if you're not doing that, you're going to get into trouble with the medical board. So, you know, I have more confidence in doctors, at least for their motives. You know, yes, once in a while you have a fellow who's a scoundrel, but most of them, I think, are really trying to do a pretty good job.
Well, and this is borne out when we look at the guidelines for cholesterol and the suggestion to prescribe statin drugs.
Well, wait a minute. Here we go. Just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Bill Sardi. And go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, our doctors aren't going along with the guidelines to prescribe statin drugs. They certainly aren't. And they're reluctant, and they're dragging their feet, and there's good reason. These drugs are toxic, and so not all the doctors are are in agreement, but unfortunately too many are. The statin cholesterol-lowering drugs are a major problem. They can cause heart failure. They can cause death, and you need to be told, and you're never informed. You're not given a consent form to read all these things. It is in small type, and there are good alternatives for these things, and for all of you that understand, I believe that they came up with a study here, 65% of retirees are going to end up with high blood pressure. The number one reason for high blood pressure in the United States, it's built into our food system, our dietary patterns, and the way they plan this. We get too much salt, which holds water in our system, and not enough potassium. We need 500 to 1,000 milligrams more potassium. The FDA has a rule that you can't put more than 99 milligrams of potassium in a food supplement. Isn't that convenient? But they haven't outruled bananas yet, so a banana or two a day will keep you, give you about 475 milligrams of potassium, and that'll keep you from getting the salt-sensitive form of hypertension, high blood pressure. The second reason for high blood pressure is high sugar levels, and that creates something in your bloodstream called aldehydes, which makes it so your blood vessels won't widen or dilate, and when they're smaller, the pressure is higher. So vitamin C, and in particular high doses of vitamin B6, are good at conquering this problem. A wonderful researcher in Canada proved all this to us. They don't tell us that 35% of the blood pressure lowering drugs could be eliminated with vitamin B6 and vitamin C. The third reason is simply for many causes that the blood vessels simply just won't widen despite whatever we're doing. And of course, it's important for us to dilate the blood vessels. There's a number of nutrients that help do this. Garlic is one. We've talked about Allicin here on this program and other types of dietary supplements that help widen the blood vessels. The blood pressure seems to go up when our homocysteine levels are up. This is an undesirable protein in the blood system. When we don't eat enough dark green leafy vegetables, you need a lot of folic acid that may help get your blood pressure down. Vitamin D, as you go north in latitude, people living in Seattle, Boston, Detroit, so on around the Canadian border, they're going to have a lot higher blood pressure by 5 to 7 or 8 points than we do here down in Southern California. So it's important that you understand a little vitamin D helps, because you don't get the vitamin D in the northern climates. That brings it down even a little further. And, of course, that explains the hypertension in people that are blacks, because blacks don't make vitamin D as easily as people with lighter skin. So that explains a little bit of that. If you're a person of color, you need to maybe get a vitamin D supplement in your regimen of what you're doing. Magnesium helps to lower high blood pressure. They covered all this up because they did studies, and they compared magnesium in normal people and then said, look, it doesn't lower blood pressure in normals. But in all the abnormals, it does. So if you have high blood pressure, you certainly need magnesium. And they did all these studies and pointed fingers in the wrong direction and say, look, magnesium doesn't work. It does work. It works in the abnormals, in the people that have hypertension. And, of course, there's a wonderful book here by Mildred Seelig, an expert, a whole book on this whole fraud of keeping the magnesium story away from us because it cures so many diseases. So we need to learn these reasons for hypertension because they're so prevalent. They're out here somewhere in our future because at some time we'll probably develop the problem even for a little while. So we need to be careful. Alcohol, which is a sugar, in a sense, will also increase our blood pressure. We need to be careful about blood sugar levels, salt levels, and having enough antioxidants in our system, enough green leafy vegetables to prevent all these problems.
Well, you know, one of the things that really bothers me, Bill, is that most of these studies on drugs are financed by the drug company. Now, if you are doing a study for the drug company and you come up and say the drug doesn't work, you will never get another study. And, of course, when you're in academic medicine, why, it's publish or perish. And if you don't get the grants, you can't get into the studies, you won't get promoted, you'll lose your job. So there is a tendency on people doing these studies to fudge the results to please the drug company so they'll continue financing it. That's a terrible thing to say, but this is the reality of what's going on today. Because when you have a country that has no moral foundation, has repudiated God, where God is simply ridiculed in our universities, should we be surprised when the studies come out of the universities where they're not telling the truth? And this is the great tragedy we face today. So we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Bill Sardi, talking about the problems we face and, of course, what can be done without going through the regular method of just simply taking another pill. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and certainly we want to remind you that if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe there's a problem, we do hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and it's as simple as giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. War. And then we want to just mention that on the 29th of November, that's 2 days after Thanksgiving, we're going to have an all-day seminar out at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course and here in the Monterey Bay area. It's a beautiful location overlooking a beautiful golf course. And we're going to have all sorts of speakers, including Bill Sardi will be there. Certainly Joan Parris is going to be talking on the Patriot Act. The USA Patriot Act, you must understand what this is. And you must understand that you're not being told the truth. This has nothing to do with fighting terrorism. There's not one word in the USA Patriot Act about Islamic terrorism. They simply define terrorism, and did you realize that, according to their definition, almost anyone who's listening to this station tonight could be deemed to be a terrorist. And so they talk about one thing, but they have a different agenda. We're going to have, of course, Dr. Robert Klank is going to be talking about the church growth movement. We're changing the message and the music of our churches. And, of course, what's the force behind that? We're going to have Brad Take of the Pacific Justice Institute talking about taking ground back. I'm going to be talking on what happened in Iraq, why we're really in Iraq, and, of course, how this ties into so many other things. So we hope many of you listening will want, of course, to make arrangements to come to the all-day seminar on the 29th of November. Now, because this is sort of an isolated area, we are going to serve lunch, and that's why we need to have reservations ahead of time. So we hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and that you'll make reservations, you'll get your friends to come. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet people who feel the same way that you do about what's going on. And not only that, we've had people as far away as Austria come at the last meeting. And, well, maybe somebody will be there from Europe, or we know people in Colorado are planning to come. So we hope that you'll want to join us on the 29th of November, 2 days after Thanksgiving. And, of course, our reservations are available simply by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Where I think you'll find it a fascinating, fascinating time. As we begin looking behind what's going on today, we'll have a panel at the end where, of course, you can ask the various speakers questions. I think you'll have an excellent time. We're looking forward to seeing at that meeting. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this evening is Bill Sardi. Our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call anywhere across the country, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, it's 464-8295. If you agree, if you disagree, we'd love to hear from you and, of course, get your thoughts. But Bill has been talking about some of these drugs that are used so commonly. And, of course, I will have to admit that I am very, very concerned and skeptical about them. And I think we are being manipulated as the drug companies dominate medicine, keep lowering the level of course, of cholesterol, and then say, you've got to take our medicine or one very, very similar to it, or you're going to die of a stroke or high blood pressure. Why don't you pick up the story, Bill?
Well, this does go on. I mean, the very definition of prescription drug is really a natural molecule that has been modified, altered from the way God made it, and then you get a patent and you make millions of dollars off of it. And, of course, that's what the drug companies, that's the business they're in. There's nothing wrong with these. For instance, the diuretics I told you about, which are important for lowering your blood pressure, but they're designed for an acute case. A doctor has someone come in, their blood pressure is 300 or 400, they're having a massive headache, and they need to get their blood pressure down now before they have a stroke. That's what that was designed for, not for everyday use, where it depletes your body of the important electrolyte minerals that make your heart rhythm, of course, coordinate and so on. So, you know, these drugs are being misused in some ways. They do work. Bring me to the emergency room, and when I need one, we'll use it. But in the chronic everyday use, they're going to have a side effect. Most of them cause a nutritional deficiency, and that means a side effect. So they don't tell you about these.
All right, let's go to Mike, who's calling in here from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question. I want to ask Bill if he knows anything about Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease is a very difficult disease. If you go to my website, askbillsardi.com, you'll see on the left-hand bar there overlooked cures, and one of those cures is for Crohn's disease, and I'm scratching my head. Where are the doctors? Because you only need to go to the National Library of Medicine and look up Crohn's disease, and of course, many cases go into remission for years at a time just by telling people to take fish oil. And of course, it's very important that you get some fish oil in your diet for other reasons as well. But people with Crohn's disease, it's an inflammatory problem. Now, for inflammation, which is a process that's involved in virtually every disease and aging and cancer in the body, anti-inflammatory agents are important. Ibuprofen, aspirin, all of those can burn a hole in your stomach. They kill thousands of people a year with bleeding gastric ulcers. They'd never approve these drugs ever again. They're just over-the-counter drugs because they cause so many side effects. You're never told about this. So, you know, the Health at Home Nutrition people have a wonderful little product we call Nucleotide Immune Support. Goes by a long name, but it's meant to replace the over-the-counter anti-inflammatory drugs that are out there. Tylenol, which is not really an anti-inflammatory, it's really a pain reliever, but that is a liver toxin, and you want to make sure that if you're taking Tylenol, you're taking something to counter the liver side effects, which is a sulfur compound I mentioned earlier called NAC. So be careful here. You do want an anti-inflammatory. Fish oil works better than steroids, which they commonly give to Crohn's patients. So start with some pretty high doses of fish oil, and then you might look into some of these other products we're going to mention a little later here, how you can get a phone number and find out about them.
Okay, anything else, Mike?
I'm looking at the website. I don't see... where would I look on your website?
On the left-hand bar, it says Overlooked Cures. Just scroll down there a little bit, and you'll see Overlooked Cures, and then you'll see about 10 of those. We had them on 10 different days. We had remedies there for everything from herpes to warts to cancer to just went on and on, even a headache cure there. So you'll find them there on the website.
Invited, Mike?
Well,
why don't you just keep scrolling on down, and if you have problems, why give us a call
it's
later?
It's real simple. You can read it and read the references, but the point is get some fish oil at least 3,000 milligrams for anybody that has Crohn's disease.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks
and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment for our special guest this evening, Bill Sardi. Well, Bill, there are lots of problems that really plague humanity, and of course you work with a lot of people that do have these problems. Really have not been very satisfied with traditional medicine. So what are some of the other things you'd like to talk about?
Well, of course, we like to think of the drug companies and their wonderful pitching to us about heartburn. It's a major problem because the heavier we get, the more weight that we carry, it seems like the more heartburn we get. What we mean by heartburn is really esophageal burn at the end of this wonderful little pipe between your stomach and your throat is this esophagus, and if the little leaves of your esophagus at the bottom, there's a little valve there, and if the little leaves in that get loose, well, if you eat real greasy foods, it loosens the leaves. Makes sense. If you have caffeine, my neighbor constantly drinking very, very strong Turkish coffee and was taking a heartburn remedy. I said, just relax on the coffee. He did, and it went away. So the doctor didn't tell him, put him on a heartburn remedy. Why do we get concerned about the heartburn remedies? Well, by the way, alcohol loosens up that valve. Those are the kind of things. So smoking doesn't help either. But in regards to the medicines they give you, this is your Pepcid, your Zantac, your Prilosec, your Nexium. And all of these are what we call H2 blockers or histamine blockers. And they, you know, they don't tell you that they cause a B12 deficiency. So you need to be careful there. You're going to get symptoms and signs of B12 deficiency. You're going to be run down. You're going to have short-term memory loss. You're going to have tingling and numbness in your body. You're never going to relate it to that heartburn remedy. Many of those heartburn remedies you can't use the moment you have the heartburn. You've got to take them 20 minutes before you eat or so. Whereas you can go down to the health food store and get Nature's histamine blocker. It's a wonderful little remedy called quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. It comes naturally and is found in red onions and red apples, and it's Nature's antihistamine, quercetin. And, of course, that is a good H2 blocker. And, you know, when you go to bed at night is when you kind of become horizontal, and that's when the stomach acid comes back up, because as you're standing up, you don't have the problem. Then as you lay down, you're going to have the problem. So if you have some little quercetin plus vitamin C, it works together better, and a few of the companies make it that way. So they're, you know, find an instant, easy remedy for your esophagus problems. Now, some people that have these issues, they've got a little air and gas in there pushing the stomach acid up, so they don't know that just a little bit of fennel seed helps absorb air and gas. You can get some nutrients like grapeseed extract to tighten the little leaves in your esophagus and all these things. And, of course, like I say, Health at Home Nutrition has put together a wonderful little formula. Puts all these things together so you can solve your heartburn problems naturally and quickly. And, of course, it's just to build a healthy esophagus. So the idea here is I, for years, I've been telling people, take this bottle and this bottle and this bottle, and I've got people taking 6 bottles. So the idea tonight is to give you ideas and, of course, how to do this at home, how to do it maybe by running to the health food store, or Health at Home Nutrition has them so you don't have to take so many bottles and you could save a lot of money. So sorting it out for you. But many people do have heartburn problems. They can solve them naturally. Watch what you're eating. That's a major issue. And, of course, every once in a while, we all have to reach for something. So it helps to have something that doesn't deplete your body of vitamin B12.
All right, fine. Of course, if you actually have a deficiency of vitamin B12, that can create pernicious anemia and all sorts of other problems.
Many people have a B12 deficiency. Like I say, the signs are short-term memory loss, usually tingling or burning in your feet, sometimes a sore tongue, and certainly, of course, fatigue. So those are signs that you need a little. A good B12 supplement with maybe 1,000 or 2,000 micrograms of B12. And, you know, those are the kind of things that will really help you out there. Now, many people with indigestion don't realize that, you know, they're avoiding fatty foods, or anytime they eat fatty foods, they might even get a little sharp pain kind of right down on the top end of their stomach. And they're not really realizing they're having lots of air and gas. They've got a bad gallbladder. Their gallbladder is filled with stones, and I suggest that everyone in their lifetime do 2 things. One is cleanse your liver, because your liver builds up iron over your lifetime, particularly for the men later on, for the women in the most postmenopausal years. And then the gallbladder. The gallbladder is filling with these little stones, and we need to cleanse them. We're never told, of course, until you actually have had them out surgically, that there's a little component in pears and apples called malic acid, and it dissolves your gallbladder stones. Taurine helps you make more bile so you can keep the stones from hardening up. And, of course, there's other wonderful nutrients, choline and inositol. You find those in lecithin. It emulsifies so the stones can't form and get into little concretions there. And if you put all these together, I've helped many, many people cancel or avoid a gallbladder surgery just by taking a little gallbladder support formula that I've now put together. Now you don't have to take the 5 or 6 bottles, and Health at Home Nutrition's put that one together too. And so some people don't realize, if you're on a weight loss regimen and you lose a lot of weight, you're causing things to kind of harden and congeal in the gallbladder, and then you're going to get gallbladder stones. It's one of the major problems of a diet. So is to go on a diet and then get to have to go down for a gallbladder operation. So
why don't you get your telephone number out, Bill?
You bet. For the folks that are interested in all this, there's a wonderful little newspaper that'll come to your attention called the Self-Care News. It's all free. You get a lot of health care tips in there. 866-405-4000. 866-405-4000. Just ask for the Self-Care News. They'll put you on the list. And, of course, we're going to be sending you, we're a little late in producing our wonderful How to Stay Healthy at Home videotape, but it's a wonderful little seminar all put on. And I tell people right from my own kitchen at home how to stay healthy, a whole lot of free health care tips and so on. Everyone listening to your program, as soon as we get that editing all finished, while we'll be sending them a free videotape as well. So,
will you bring some of those to the seminar?
We will, and we'll try. You know, everyone who comes to the seminar, we promise you, you're going to get a free How to Stay Healthy at Home videotape. And, of course, I can tell you, because we did it here and taped it all here at my house, and that it's a really wonderful thing because there's a lot of free tips in there from the kitchen, using spices or how to make your own herbal extracts or all kinds of wonderful things that you can do to stay healthy at home without spending too much money. And, of course, that's the goal.
Okay, let's go to Ed, who's in Aptos. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I got two questions. I'll take them off the air.
Okay.
Bill, what can I do instead of taking Naproxen for a whiplash chronic pain injury? And also, too, do you plan on ever writing a book? Why don't you do that?
He's written about six of them here this last year.
Yeah, well, in the last year, about five books, and we got another one coming. But the Naproxen for a whiplash and so on, first thing that I tell everyone going through a whiplash, regardless of you've got the pain yet or not, and that is keep a bottle of magnesium handy. It's a natural muscle relaxant. And just don't take calcium, which goes the other way, and get some magnesium in. I had a next-door neighbor who couldn't come see me because she was involved in a little whiplash problem. I went over, brought her some magnesium pills, and she came right over next door with her husband when she said she couldn't make it to a little event we were having. So it does work, magnesium and natural muscle relaxant. Again, get some anti-inflammatories into your system. Even fish oil and so on helps, which would be very good. For books, I do have a number of books that I've written. We're trying to give you the information here free on the air, but I do have a wonderful book, The New Truth About Vitamins and Minerals. That's a brand new book that's out. It sorts out multivitamins and all the dosages and types of things. The Bible Prescription for Health and Longevity, a wonderful short new little book on why the people in the Bible live so long and how that translates into your own life, what you can do about that. I do have a book, In Search of the World's Best Water, all about drinking water. The Iron Time Bomb, which is all about how our bodies build up too much iron over time. Again, if you're interested in all those, 866-405-4000, they'll send you a book list. You can go to my website, AskBillSardi.com, and let me say, to my pleasure, we're happy to be a big supporter of Radio Liberty, and so I can tell you that virtually any money made off of these projects go to Radio Liberty. That's why we're here. We want to share it with you and support Radio Liberty.
God bless you. Thanks so much. Let's go to Paul calling from Capitola, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. I have a question about sinus trouble. Now, I get allergies. I think they're allergies as I get puffy eyes, itchy throat, and then constantly have trouble in my left sinus. Now, I don't understand why it stays in the left and my right stays clear. If it were allergies, it seems that it would...
Well, a sinus passage is a cavity with a small opening, and it's hard to even get antibiotics up there to work. Two things I suggest. Get some oil of oregano.
Okay.
There's a particular brand called Oregacin, C-Y-N at the end, Oregacin.
Okay.
And that is a wonderful thing. Take that orally for a while, a couple times a day.
Okay.
And then take and open one of those capsules. It's in my How to Stay Healthy at Home seminar. Put a little bit in a cup of water, dilute it in there, and then get a little bulb syringe, and guess what? You get to irrigate your nasal passages with it. It's a little stimulating.
Okay.
You get the antibiotic up there, and I'm telling you, it'll be eradicated readily. So that's the big answer.
All right,
get
great.
Rid of those chronic sinus problems.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care.
Okay, fine. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest this evening is Bill Sardi. I'm a health journalist who's written a number of books and has certainly come up with some amazing, amazing approaches to many of the common things and most of the things, you know, that plague people, certainly the heartburn. I mean, how many people across America have heartburn when you see on television these advertisements for Nexium day after day, week after week? You know, there's a tremendous market for all of these things. But, of course, the question is, are they going to really solve the problem? Now, certainly they solve the problem, but many times it's not only expensive, but aren't there sometimes complications with some of these medicines?
Well, there certainly are, and we have, you know, I think it's 100,000 people lose their lives every year due to side effects from properly prescribed prescription drugs. So, I mean, we have to start learning here where, you know, this is, we never see this with the dietary supplements. It's not that there aren't side effects. It's not that there aren't even a few mortalities. It's just that they're a handful next to hundreds of thousands with the drugs. We need to be careful here. So be aware, start learning. So, and, of course, a lot of precious dollars are going out for the wonderful people that are Christians and following their Lord Jesus Christ. Your money is going into the wrong place. You can't support the work of the church and of the kingdom of God if it's all going to health care. So, you know, this is what's happening. They're picking it out of our pockets, and we have nothing to make good happen in the world. So we need to learn.
Well, I think, you know, the drug companies really really have it pretty good, and a lot of people are putting out an awful lot of money for medicines, and they've jacked the prices up here in the United States to about three or four times what they ought to be. You can buy the same drugs up in Canada at a fraction of the price, and it's not that, you know, that the drug companies are forced to sell it at a lower price there. They sell it at a low price every other place in the world. They try, of course, to get the maximum dollars here, and then when people try to get out of Canada or Mexico, we're told, oh, that's a terrible thing to do. Don't you realize those are inferior medicines? You know, do you really want to gamble on your health? And the thing is, they're made by the same companies. They're shipped across the border, but they don't want them shipped back again because they don't want you to be able to buy drugs that cost less. And, of course, they're creating a crisis in health care in this country to justify what they're going to do with Medicare. They're going to transform this totally. And I'm not saying that I'm totally against what they're doing, but they're going to come up with a two-tiered system, one for the wealthy and one for the poor. And if you're in the poor group, believe me, they're going to ration access to health care. That's what it's all about, but they don't want to tell you. That's why they're creating the crisis. But don't you worry, they already have the solution. I was told 15 years ago what the solution was. You're just going to learn it very, very soon. Let's go to Nathan calling from Contra Costi. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
I'm going to absolutely verify everything that you're saying tonight, from in large part from personal experience, including, by the way, the part on biblical meats and proper kosher foods for people to eat, including in Genesis 9, not eating blood with meat, and that we violate that. However, that's a divine commandment, in fact. But my main point is I just wanted to verify everything, including the dietary supplements and side effects from prescription drugs. Just be very careful. I'm not saying don't take prescription drugs, but I can't emphasize enough to get second opinions when possible. And that's really it.
Okay, thanks so much, Nathan. And certainly some of the antibiotics are wonderful. If you have an overwhelming infection, these can be life-saving. But, of course, there are potential complications. That's why you need to be taking the lactobacillus or the acidophilus, you know, so that you don't kill off the normal flora. And you're going to have to think about these things, because I will tell you that lots of times when you're a busy surgeon, as I was, you don't think about this. And yet, of course, it's a very, very real thing. Now, if you're only taking the antibiotics for a day or two, three or four days, there's not going to be a problem. But long-term use, there are all sorts of problems out there. And even on very short-term, occasionally you'll get into problems. So go ahead, Bill.
Well, I do agree. You know, I often tell people, don't listen to health advice on the radio. I don't mind people listening, jotting notes down, but that isn't the only source of information. That's why I do write books, so if I talk about it here in the air, someone will think I'm peddling books. But I do try and tell people, you know, we have books so you can see it in print. We have books so you can check the references, and we do suggest that you get more than one opinion. So make sure. But remember, one guy with a good opinion and the right opinion is better than 25 who don't have the right information. So Look for the references and those kind of things when you're getting information.
Well, you know, the most amazing thing is now, of course, increasingly they're finding out that, of course, proper diet and proper nutrition is a means of staying healthy. In fact, you see a picture on the front of the Time magazine this week or last week talking about, you know, staying healthy by eating properly. Why, of course, 20 years ago, that was heresy to suggest that anything besides medicines could probably possibly keep people healthy. But now they're finding their products in, you know, in raw foods and raw broccoli and all of these things have beneficial health effects. In fact, if you eat properly, you can cut down your incidence of cancer. Well, if you can avoid cancer by eating properly, what parts of those play in the ultimate treatment of cancer or cutting down its spread?
Well, the Mediterranean diet is overwhelming. We've overlooked a major finding. I believe the first study called the Lion Seven Nation Study was done in 1989. And what that showed was for every four Americans who had an adverse cardiovascular event, this is a stroke, heart attack, or fatal heart attack, there was only one European if they were eating that Mediterranean diet. And that's how powerful that is. In fact, you know, with the health at home nutrition little label we have called the Wellness Longevity Formula, it follows and tries to give you everything in that Mediterranean diet, which is really the Bible diet. They're stealing that name in modern times. But it was really a Bible diet is what it was. And, of course, we're trying to give you the whole grains and the greens that you need and, of course, some of the essential minerals, but really the high antioxidant fruits, the bitter spices and so on that kept you from getting infections and so on. So these are all wonderful things to learn about.
Well, I think this is the sort of thing that is really not stressed today, and the average doctor is not trained in nutrition. In fact, we always used to make fun of the doctors who talked about nutrition, but the older I get, the more I've come to the conclusion that there is truth in, you know, in what some of these old-timers said about the value of proper nutrition and preventing disease.
Well, absolutely. There's no question. We need to start with good diets. that's why I have my wonderful little videotape, How to Stay Healthy at Home, and we take you right to the kitchen and start there because everybody eats food, and we just need a little more knowledge about some things how to do that. I mean, as simple as the bread you eat in the first place, bread is a grain and grains are the how they fatten the hogs, so be careful, that's how you gain weight. But, you know, we talk about sourdough. Why not eat sourdough bread? After all, it's just bread without sugar. That's all that is. So why do we put sugar in our other breads? If you want to lose weight, use sourdough. And it's just simple little tips like this. If you're eating bread, you could save yourself a few calories, a few thousand over a year, and you keep the weight down. So there's 100 little ways to get at this. You just need the information.
Well, we've just about out of time. We've got Terry in Aptos. Quick question, Terry.
Just a quick question. I wanted to know if he had any remedy at all for severe neuropathy.
Okay, neuropathy, again, you're talking about vitamin B12.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about fish oil. Those are the things that make the myelin sheath around a nerve. And then, of course, you're talking about maybe hyaluronic acid, which you go to my website, you can learn more about that, but that's the cushioning around the nerve. So very important you put the whole system back together the way God made it. B12 and hyaluronic acid and, of course, the omega-3 fish oils. Those would be good for you.
Now, Terry, what's the cause of the neuropathy?
Well, she's diabetic.
Okay, and in diabetes, those will work, but then again, a lot of vitamin C to counter that, which is greatly helpful. B12 will help a diabetic with neuropathy.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks so much, Terry. Thank you so much for being with us this evening, Bill. It's always a fascinating time, and we appreciate your taking the time to be with us and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you very much.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Bill Sardi, and I hope you enjoyed the program. And we like to have Bill on, every month or so. Actually, he comes on all of our programs to share what he's learned, and there's always so much new in the health field. Well, this is the time, of course, we want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival and for our leaders and for our ministers. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Don't forget our special all-day seminar we're going to be having on the 29th of November here in the Monterey Bay area at Aptos Seascape. And so until tomorrow when we'll be back with you again, May the Lord be with you. Well, I have to stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Chris Milligan. And of course, Chris is a book publisher. He's published, republished Anthony Sutton's excellent book, The American Establishment. He's published The Expendable Elite. He published Barry and the Boys. And now he's, of course, has published his own book, Flushing Out Skull and Bones. Chris, thank you so much for being with us again today.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan. You're a hard-working guy.
Well, I tell you what a privilege it is to be able to be on the air 5 hours a day, and to know there really are people out there listening. And, you know, we may never hear from them, and then one day they'll call and they say, oh, we've been listening to you for a couple of years, you know, and listen on the Internet or shortwave. And they really do appreciate finding somebody who's saying what they've always felt. And, of course, they can't seem to find anybody else who can see clearly what's happening. They see what's happening. We're losing America. And, of course, there has to be some reason why our leaders consistently make mistakes. You'd think occasionally they'd make a mistake on the side of freedom, but they never do. Well, why don't we start off with you, and let's talk a little bit about your background, because your dad had actually been with the intelligence agencies, and the people who are listening tonight haven't heard your story, so you start at the beginning and just tell the whole story.
Well, yeah, I'm doing what I'm doing mostly because my dad told me some things I didn't understand many years ago, and my father was, he got involved in intelligence when he was 18 years old. He was an exchange student to the University of Shanghai, left there a week before the Japanese bombed it in 37, went across the Trans-Siberian Railway from Vladivostok to Vienna, and ended up at the 1937 conference in Oxford with the Dulles brothers. And then he graduated from college in 39, went directly back to Washington, D.C.
Did he graduate from Oxford?
No, he graduated from Linfield College out here in Oregon.
Okay.
And went directly back to Washington, D.C., worked in the Library of Congress, in the basement of the Library of Congress under Archibald MacLeish, who was a member of the Order of Skull and Bones and also a member of OSS. And then my father was in OSS. And then OSS wanted somebody on MacArthur's staff, but MacArthur and his general Weishaupt didn't, or, oh, here's a general, his name, he has two names, one is a German name.
It's Courtney Whitney?
Yeah, no, not Courtney Whitney. Gypsy Weiden is his German name. I can't think of his English name right now. He was MacArthur's security director.
All right.
And he they didn't want anybody from OSS on the staff, so they sheep-dipped my dad, put him into the military in 1943, made him a second lieutenant, put him into G2, and put him on MacArthur's staff.
Okay, so this is what they did. I mean, because they were watching him. I have a book written by a four-star Marine general who was told, he was asked by Harlan Cleveland to go over to Japan with MacArthur to discredit him and work behind the scenes to discredit him. Harlan Cleveland, of course, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, so, and probably tied into the, all of the secret societies as well.
Mm-hmm. And then, so he was one of very few people that were in G2 and in OSS at the same time, which gives you access to two separate sets of books, you might say. And then after the war, he was in a bunch of different alphas that led up to, in 1947, the CIA, and he was in them with them at the beginning, and his last overt job with them was as branch chief head of all of East Asia for research and analysis.
And that's where he worked with Colonel Lansdale?
Well, yes, and then he worked with Colonel Lansdale later on, and Colonel Lansdale used to come over to the family house. And then in 1956, he went to went on a tour of Southeast Asia. I was in first grade, and he dropped us off at my grandparents' house, and my mother and father went on took a tour of Southeast Asia. They met with Colonel Lansdale in Vietnam, and then the very next day they went to Chiang Mai, Thailand. And my dad had told me some things about the question of CIA drugs, so I had been looking into it. And after he died, I was talking with my mother about it, and I was asking her, well, how big was Chiang Mai, Thailand, when she was there? Because now it's the second largest city in Thailand, has all the major banks have branches there because it's on the heroin trail. And she said, well, it wasn't a very big village then, and the biggest thing in town was the church. And then she said, as a little aside, she said, and that's when she stopped believing everything was in the newspaper. And I asked her why, and she said, well, because there had been the big headline in the newspaper there in Thailand, and the big story was the story of this big battle that had happened in Vietnam the day before, just when they were there. And she said there had been no battle. And she said they'd had a meeting with Colonel Lansdale. And I asked her, I says, well, Mother, do you know who Colonel Lansdale is? And she said, well, he was a handsome, dashing guy as far as she knew. And I told her, well, he says, well, that was one of the things that he did. I mean, it's recorded history. He, in the Philippines and in Vietnam, he would go out into the jungle, and they would have fake battles, you know, sometimes complete with ketchup, and they would do this so that the people in town would have to choose sides, and then they could manipulate the sides.
Yeah, in other words, they were pretending that there were wars going on, but they really weren't, and they were contriving everything. Everything was illusion. Very little had to do with reality.
Right, right, and then I went, and my parents always took a lot of pictures when they went on their travels, and so she's got all these picture books, and I was looking at the picture book of this travel, and there it shows the pictures of them with Colonel Lansdale and these Vietnam Army officers and whatnot, and you know, you can read in the writing right next to the pictures, it says a picnic with North Vietnamese military leaders. In you know, Colonel Lansdale, he was the prototype for the novel The Ugly American, and also the other American, The Good American. There was two different novels that were written, and he was responsible for taking over the Golden Triangle. The drug trafficking Golden Triangle there from the French. Gerald Posner wrote a book, in his first book he talks about it there, and it was one of the very first shooting wars ever between Western intelligence agencies. And the French had run it, but the Americans wanted it. And
of course, the reason that we wanted it was we wanted that money to cover all of our black operations for the CIA. What did your dad tell you about the real reason for Vietnam, because he took you aside one time to talk to you about Vietnam, and you were very young, and you didn't understand. You were sort of the victim of too many John Wayne movies, and you thought we were over there fighting communism, fighting for freedom. And so what did your dad tell you? Because he had been part of this whole CIA-OSS complex.
Right. He had left them a little bit after that meetings in 56 because he was in a position where he would have to know about the narcotics trafficking. And he left them. And what he told me in the late 60s, he looked at me and he says, the Vietnam War is about drugs. There's these secret societies behind it. I'm thinking, okay, he's talking about the mafia, you know, and I was thinking, well, this is my dad's way of having an anti-drug talk. And then his very next sentence was, and communism is all a sham. These same secret societies are behind it all. And then they also proceeded to tell me about, the newspapers, what was in the news, the articles there, they called them sway pieces. And then he told about an assessment report that was written for Eisenhower. And my father had been in charge of writing a lot for Southeast Asia. And they had told Ike not to get involved in a land war in Asia, and told him to work with they recommended him to work with Ho Chi Minh. They had worked with him in World War II. And then my dad told me, he says that he was also, he had waited till this Vanderbilt professor was in town, Professor D.F. Fleming, before he had this talk with me. And he said, and they felt that there was, in this assessment report, there was things, scenarios where if we do this, then, you know, this will happen and so forth. And he said that they felt that they were playing out a lose scenario. And it didn't make any sense at all to me because, we knew my father had been in the intelligence agency as kids, but it had not been something like he had come home from work and at the family table and told us what he had done that day. He had never really mentioned his work at all before, and so I really had no idea what to think about it, and I just read a little bit about the Kennedy assassination and CIA drugs. I looked into that, and then I came across Professor Sutton's book, America's Secret Establishment, and that really helped me to put a lot of the things together, because he explains in there about how these secret societies would use the Hegelian dialectic to create both the left and the right. Had taken over our education system, and then had financed the Nazis and, first the communists, the Bolsheviks, and then the Nazis.
Creating the best enemy that our money could buy. And then, of course, the relationship between Skull and Bones, which was what the American establishment was about, and, of course, the CIA. The Skull and Bones dominates the CIA. The Skull and Bones leads the Council on Foreign Relations. The Skull and Bones has its people planted on the Supreme Court. The Skull and Bones has its people who become the president of the United States. And if you go back, of course, former director of the CIA, George Herbert Walker Bush, was vice president for 8 years under Reagan, really ran the White House during that time. Then he was the president for 4 years. Then, of course, they were out of power for 8 years with Clinton, who was in the White House, and now his son is in the White House. It almost looks like we have some sort of a royalty that one family is dominating the White House. But do remember the Prescott Bush, Senator Prescott Bush, back in the 1940s, associated with Brown Brothers Harriman, involved with financing Adolf Hitler. Amazing, we never talk about that today. In fact, that firm was actually indicted for helping the enemy during the war.
Right, and Professor Sutton, again, led the way there. He was the first person to bring up those accounts of the Union Banking Corporation and the other corporations and Brown Brother Harriman. He brought that up in 1975 in Wall Street in Hitler. It was completely ignored by the mainstream press and was never, ever answered by any historian or the Bush family or anything. He then, and at that time he knew nothing about the Order of Skull and Bones. Then when he wrote his book, How the Order Creates War and Revolution, he expanded the story then in 83, and then that book got put into his America's Secret Establishment book in 86, and then he expanded it a little bit more. in 88 when he wrote his book Two Faces of George Bush. Again, it was just completely ignored by the mainstream historians, was ignored by the press, and the Bush family never answered it. Then it was picked up by Tarpley and Chatelain in the unauthorized biography of George Bush, and they expanded it, and they showed how George Bush and, George Bush's father, Prescott Bush, and Prescott Bush's father-in-law, George Herbert Walker, had been the first president of this bank that had, was eventually taken over by the by the United States under the Trading with the Enemy Act.
No, in other words, they were taken over because they were trading with the enemy. They were trading with the Nazis.
Oh, absolutely. They were supporting support for the steel industry, and not just, you know, penny ante stuff, but, you know, the steel industry that, did like 60% of all the steel in company that did all 60% of all the steel in Germany. And then the story then, John Loftus, a congressional investigator, took it a bit farther, and he showed how one of these companies, Schlesien Steel, actually had laborers from the Auschwitz, from the concentration camps. And then more recently out on the internet and in Clamor magazine, a gentleman by the name of Toby Rogers, with help from John Loftus, showed how Prescott Bush got his shares back after the war from the Union Banking Corporation, and they sold these shares for $1.5 million. And this is part of the fortune that the Bush family have. And the funny thing is, you see, you know, the Bushes are, besides related to royalty, are related to a lot of the other U.S. presidents, Roosevelt and other ones, and there's this whole group of presidents that are all related to each other. And then you have this other group of all the other presidents, and none of those are related to each other at all. But there is this sort of a privileged class, and a lot of this privileged class has been involved in the opium trade since the 1830s. They have used this money to destabilize and take control over other industries. They have taken control over our transportation industry, the railroad, took control over our press. And, I mean, we do not really have a free press in this country at all. I mean, I'm this, guy up in Oregon. I don't have any money. I found out that the word publisher is basically a fancy name for somebody who goes out and asks people for money. To get these books published by, like, Barry and the Boys, this gentleman was an independent producer, had a show that was aired internationally on NBC. And he discovered some things about CIA drugs and about the JFK assassination, wrote about them. All of it. He doesn't work for that company anymore.
Well, for our listeners, let's just cover a few of the things you're covering. First of all, Barry and the Boys is a story of Barry Seal, the world's most famous drug smuggler. And, of course, who are the boys? Why, they were his CIA friends. Barry Seal was a CIA operative, the biggest drug smuggler, smuggled billions of dollars of drugs into the United States. And for those of you out there, say, that couldn't be true. I'd suggest you get hold of Gary Webb's book. And, of course, we actually carry a book called Into the Buzzsaw, with a section in that written by Gary Webb, who wrote the story about the CIA and drugs and getting drugs into Los Angeles, which, of course, they had a devastating effect on the black population. And this was all during the Contra War. So we carry the book Into the Buzzsaw that has the references to Gary Webb. Now, if you doubt that the CIA is involved with drugs, you need to go to the website Into the Wilderness, and that's Michael Rupert's website. There's a link there to the CIA website with the General Administration report saying, yes, the CIA, some of their agents were actually selling drugs. The fact that this is never mentioned by the major media simply is a reflection of the fact of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. We have a four-tape set, actually six interviews with people who worked for the government, have got into trouble because they tried to expose the CIA involvement in drugs. Now, if they were involved in drugs, and of course this is covered in Rodney Sitch's book, The Drugging of America, which we carry, And, of course, Rodney Stitch's other book, Deceiving America, I think is the title of it, but we have both of these books. If the CIA is involved with drugs, can we really believe anything they tell us about what happened on September 11th? And if they're able to cover up the CIA's involvement in drugs, what else are they covering up? And, of course, what's the relationship between the CIA and our media? There's a book, we don't carry it. It's called Fixing Intelligence by General Odom, who was the head of the National Security Agency. And on two separate occasions in this recent book, he talked about how inappropriate it was for the CIA to have employed journalists working in the media in America. Ladies and gentlemen, they control what we read, and somebody tries to put out a book that doesn't tell the truth, and they, with one of the major publishers, why that book never sees the light of day. And we're so lucky to have people like Chris Milligan, who's out there publishing these books that need to be printed.
I'm not really trying to toot my own horn. It just amazes me that, you know, I'm publishing these books because of. These books should have been published out of New York, out of major houses. These are things that you know, all America should know about. But the control and the propaganda and the level of psychological warfare that has been played against our country is just amazing. I mean, you know, these people don't really care about the issue of homosexuality or the issue of abortion. You know, all they know is they are things that happen, and there was a meeting. There's a book called The Secret Life of Ronald Reagan, and in that book he's taken to a meeting in London, and they tell him, we're going to take the issue of abortion and homosexuality, and we're going to shoot them like bullets into the stomach of the America's psyche. You know, because you look at some of the people that have championed those issues, and you look back in their background, and you know, it's beyond being hypercritical. It is really a planned psychological warfare that they do to get us to divide the family, to make us hate each other. If I'm a member of this group over here, if I'm a member on the right, then I don't like the people over there on the left. And you know, I mean, they've done the same thing with the environmental issue. The environmental issue has been used to move people into a direction where they're confrontational to people that are over here, so that the elite can move history along to their quote-unquote New World Order.
Now, are you suggesting that the issue of abortion and homosexuality are being used to divert us from what is really going on?
Absolutely, absolutely. These people are masters at psychological warfare, and they use scandal all the time to divert us. And they use issues like these, lightning rod issues that hit people in the gut, you know, and they use those issues to divide people.
All right, let's get back to the Skull and Bones, because I think the Skull and Bones is vitally important. First of all, this is a secret society. It's a secret fraternity, and a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, I mean, they're also all the college fraternities are secret fraternities, and they have a lot of mumbo-jumbo there. But why is Skull and Bones from Yale different than any other fraternity in the United States?
Well, we have three presidents from there. We have a whole bunch of Supreme Court justices and chiefs of the Supreme Court. We have titans of industry. We have, you know, their control over the CIA. We have their implementation of an education system here that is dumbing our country down, you know, that is making us think we live in a democracy when we live in a republic and our rights come from God. They don't come from that silly little piece of paper. That silly little piece of paper limits the power of government, and they get us involved in wars all the time.
And of course, we can point to Secretary of State Henry Stimson, member of the Skull and Bones and the CFR, Secretary of War during the Second World War. Well, then, of course, his good friend was McGeorge Bundy. He was the National Security Advisor to President Clinton and President Johnson. He got us involved in Vietnam. Both Skull and Bones, both CFR, and personal friends who wrote a book together called On Watch. And so here are two members of Skull and Bones led us into senseless wars, just as our current policy, where, of course, we go into Afghanistan. Why do we go into Afghanistan? Why, we've got to get the wicked Osama bin Laden. But, of course, if you study what really happened, and we have this all in a book called Crude Politics, written by Paul Sperry, senior editor for WorldNet Daily in Washington, D.C., talking to the members of the special forces who were over there, they weren't allowed to go after Osama bin Laden. We didn't go in to get Osama bin Laden. We went in to topple the Taliban so we could put in the pipeline. That's what it was really all about. And then,
and
of course, we had to go into Iraq because of the weapons of mass destruction. And when they didn't find any, well, we were in to liberate the people because Saddam Hussein was a wicked guy. And, you know, the most amazing thing in the last few days, these car bombs that are coming in and, of course, blowing up, you know, whether it be the Turkish embassy or the area where we're trading Iraq policemen to take over control. And where are the, of course, the terrorists getting the explosives? Why are they getting from Saddam Hussein's munitions dumps where there are millions of tons of munitions and explosives? And we don't have any guards on them. Now, you would think, you know, if you were in an enemy country and you had all of this, these munitions and explosives, you'd have guards on them, or you'd explode the munitions. You wouldn't leave them there for the terrorists to get. But then if we exploded them, we wouldn't have, of course, all these car bombs, would we? Are our people totally incompetent, or is this truly diabolical? Are we once again helping the best enemies our money can buy? So, you know, we're not getting the truth about what's really going on there or any other place. And, of course, behind all of this, we find people from Skull and Bones, including the current president of the United States, who, when asked shortly before he entered the White House about his membership in Skull and Bones, he replied, "Oh, is that organization still around? I didn't even know it still existed." And yet, our Christian president, as soon as he got into the White House, invited all the members of his Skull and Bones cell there into the White House for a party as they celebrated taking over the leadership of America. And I don't think that was a nice thing for his to try to deceive the American people. I would expect more from a Christian president. I would expect him to tell the truth and renounce his oaths to this occult organization, because this is an occult organization, isn't it, Chris?
Most assuredly. But, you know, I mean, the guy's going to pose, you know. He's going to pose to get into office. And getting back to Afghanistan, one of the main reasons they went back there was for the opium, okay, because the Taliban had stopped the opium growing. We're back in there. There's tons of opium being grown there. You have Richard Secord. Is in one of the Tajikistan that's right around there, one of the old Soviet republics, with big C-130s and flying the drugs out. It was a lot of it was a drug war, and then these people like to see death. And as far as Secretary of War, you had one of the founders of Skull and Bones, Alonzo Taft, was Secretary of War. His son, William Howard Taft, was also Secretary of War. And so you have a long history of that. You also have a long history of their relationship with Russia. And you have a situation where they play both sides of the street. You have Brown Brothers Harriman, okay, started by Averill Harriman, who at one time was governor of New York, on a Democrat, and a lot of times talked about as being a Democratic presidential contender, while Prescott Bush, working out of the same office, okay, was a Republican senator from Connecticut.
Now, of course, Brown Brothers Harriman is one of the largest banking firms. What we should note is that the Skull and Bones, members of Skull and Bones, dominate banking here in the United States.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, not only that, of course, the Central Intelligence Agency, members of course, Skull and Bones, dominate very often, lead the Council on Foreign Relations. And so these are the most powerful people. If you get into Skull and Bones, you are made for life. And they only take 15 people every year. And yet, of course, these people are bound together by secret and mysterious oaths, which no one will ever reveal. For fear of death. Nobody in that organization has ever talked. Now, some of them pretended to talk to Alexandra Robbins, but I don't really believe that they told her the truth at all. I believe that, of course, they were creating a myth That was, of course, to make the average American feel there's nothing to fear from this so-called secret fraternity. And yet, of course, it dates back to a secret fraternity in Germany back in 1832. And you were talking about drug smuggling and the Russells in 1832. The Russells were one of the biggest families involved in opium smuggling. And it was Russell who founded the Skull and Bones, wasn't it?
Yes, and there are relations. They're all related. All these people are related, and they actually end up, the main family they're all related to is the Cabot family. And it's very interesting. There's a book, a 1927 Cabot genealogy book, is one of the most informative books about the opium trade in America.
And what was it? The Cabots speak only to the lodges, the lodges speak only to God, something like that was used to be said.
Yes.
They were the rulers of America. Another era, but you see, most Americans don't understand the past or the fact that really the most wealthy family in the world today is the Rockefellers, and the Rockefellers even interlock, at least to a degree, with Skull and Bones, but they all go back to the ancient pagan secret societies. They all interlock, and we'll talk more about that when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you who listen to our programs out across America will decide that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we reach out across America, across the world, with the information you're not going to get from other sources. So if you believe that America is in jeopardy today, that our freedom really almost hangs by a thread, and that thread is increasingly being stretched. If you believe that there are occult and secret organizations working behind the scenes, as there already always have been, if you believe that there is a conspiracy against God, as it were told in Jeremiah 11:9 and Ezekiel 22:25, if you believe that we have an obligation to be involved in this spiritual battle, we hope many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. It's as simple as giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. War. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, of course, we'd be glad to send you one. If you haven't had one before, again, the number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our September newsletter is Mindy Kleinberg's testimony before the investigating committee, looking into the background of what happened on 9/11, as she testified in March of this year. You can find it up on the website, but you'll never see it in any of the major media because it was censored by them. But of course, their testimony is well worthwhile reading, and it's included in total in our September newsletter. We'll be glad that sends you that free. And then let me remind you, once again, of our all-day seminar we're going to have on the 29th of November out at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we're going to have Joan Paris there talking on the Patriot Act. We're going to have Dr. Robert Klink talking about the church growth movement, and of course, what way that they've changed the message of the church, the structure of the church, the music of the church, and of course, the force behind this. Well, you'll be fascinated to hear what he has to say, because you must understand that they have to neutralize Christianity, and they've done a pretty good job of it. They pretty well destroyed the Catholic Church, and now they're after the Protestant Church. They know exactly what they're doing. The tragedy is the average Christian doesn't know what they're doing. And then, of course, Bill Sardi will be here. Brad Dacus will be here. I'll even give a talk on the war in Iraq and, of course, what it's really all about, and perhaps on what's happening as far as the Supreme Court is concerned. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because, of course, we hope to see you there, and we have to have reservations ahead of time for the lunch we'll be serving. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Chris Milligan. We're talking about his book, flushing out skull and bones. And I should simply point out that we'll be carrying the book. It's available in about 2 weeks. And if you want to know more about it, well, you can call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We also carry the book, The Secrets of the Tomb by Alexandra Robbins. We have a great four-tape set on the skull and bones. We carry Chris's book. Well, it's really Professor Sutton's book, but Chris has done a wonderful job republishing it, called The American Establishment. His is available in hardcover, and it's really much better than the softcover volume we've had before. So if you're interested in any of this information, you really need to have it. Our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But right now, let's go to Nathan, of all people, who's calling from Contra Costa. Hi, Nathan.
Of all people. Yeah, well, hello. Hello, gentlemen. There's been a lot said tonight and too much to really comment, too much to comment on all of it. But I would like to point out a particularly disturbing trend that has emerged in, I think, about the last 20 years, probably starting with the inaugural of former President Reagan. My understanding is that traditionally inaugurals, traditionally inaugurals did not face the obelisk in Washington, D.C., but that starting with President Reagan, the inaugurals began facing the obelisk, which, of course, is, to pray towards the obelisk or any type of obelisk is a
You're
violation.
You're talking about the Washington Monument. Which
well, and I don't, I'm not singling it out. I mean, just any particular pillar or, it's one thing to have a monument as a secular tradition, but it's another thing to have a pillar that you're praying towards, that even if you believe you're praying in a monotheistic manner, that what you're actually doing is violating divine commandment. And I'd like your guest to comment on this, if he senses any skull and bones or any type of occult influence on this. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Did you understand what Nathan was
talking about? Oh, absolutely. And yes, he is absolutely correct. And, there was much use of astrology. Washington, D.C. is laid out in an alchemical, Masonic, ritualistic type manner. There isn't anything bad and evil, I don't think, about mysticism. It is a thing. It is just a thing, just like a gun. It's just what some people do with it.
Well, but
where
does the power come from? Because many of these people in the mysticism do have supernatural power, and the question would be, where does it come from?
I don't think they have supernatural power. I've never seen any existence of supernatural power.
Well, we'd have to get you a copy of Hostages of the Devil by Malachi Martin, one of our good friends. But that's a different subject. Anyway, of course, you pointed out the influence of astrology, and of course that was Nancy Reagan, who was deeply involved with astrology and advising her husband. What nobody wants to talk, and we cover this in a book called The Dove Connection, was that Ronald Reagan himself was involved with astrology. But of course, nobody ever wanted to really talk about that. And then, of course, the vice president at that time, when Reagan became president, was none other than, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush. And, of course, the whole background of Skull and Bones really lies in the occult.
Oh, most assuredly. It was a secret society, and you can trace them back to these secret societies that were developed in Europe in the during the Middle Ages and whatnot, and what we are dealing with now is a political esoteric system movement called synarchism.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the tomb and the skull and bones and their dedication to skulls and bones. They have a lot of skulls there. You were commenting they have the skull of Geronimo there. And they have the skulls of other important people and bones. Bones just laying all over human bones, almost like a fascination with death and destruction.
Yes, if you look at them in a mystical framework, a magical framework, they appear to be low-level sorcery, and what is called necromancy or death magic. And they believe in the power of death. The power of death gives them power over people. And a lot of these people were involved with the Kennedy assassination. If you read in Rodney Stick's book, he talks about a tap on Hoover's phone. And on there was Johnson and Nixon and Hoover and Rockefeller and George Bush. And I first read that, and I'm thinking, now, what's George Bush doing involved in that?
Wait a minute. Were they tapping phones, or were there taps on their phones?
There was a tap on Hoover's phone.
Who was tapping?
This was a group out of Naval Intelligence. It's in Rodney Stick's book, Defrauding America. And the Kennedy assassination was more than just a political coup d'etat. It was a part of a ritual. It was the killing of the king. There's an old alchemical formula that if you want to rule the world, you have to do these things. The first one is you have to destroy matter. The second one is the ritual of the killing of the king, and the third one is the bringing of the stars back to Earth.
You're talking about alchemy.
Alchemy,
right.
Yes. And that's what these people practice. And the first one, the destroying primordial matter, was the setting off of the first atomic explosion, which happened at the Trinity site, White Sands, right around 33rd degree parallel. If you look at where Kennedy was killed, I mean, these people were powerful. They could have killed him any place. They didn't have to kill him on Bloody Elm Street, right across from the first Masonic temple, right next to the Trinity River, right below the 33rd degree parallel there. Okay, and then the third part, bringing the stars back to Earth, is the moon rocks, bringing the moon rocks back, and they're established there in Houston, which again is just a little bit below the 33rd degree parallel. And so this was an alchemical thing that it involved Life magazine and Time magazine and the covers that they would present to the public and the way that people were standing on them. I mean, it is amazing when one really looks at it, and the advertisements that we have to try and sell us stuff are doing more than just selling us soap. They are setting us up for different parts of culture war, and then setting us into so that we have an elite that are able to rule over us.
Now, wasn't Henry Luce, who founded Time magazine, wasn't he a member of Skull and
Bones? He was a member of Skull and Bones, and there was quite a few people who were members of Skull and Bones who were in at the founding and then also worked with it.
But they were involved in the media as well, because they realized the importance of controlling the media to control our reality. And of course, was that Time's Mirror or?
It was Time Life, and then Time Life, what did they do after the Kennedy assassination? Well, they brought up they bought the Zapruder film. And when they printed it in their magazine, well, they just happened to flip a couple of the negatives the wrong way so that it looks like his head got shot by Oswald instead of the other way.
Now, is that Time Warner then?
It is now Time Warner,
okay,
yeah, owns AOL and the whole big thing, yeah.
So it then became, of course, the largest media conglomerate of all time, which was AOL, Time Warner, the largest single acquisition. I think that at the high point of this corporation was worth $340 billion.
Right. Well, Skull and Bones was, the oil industry is pretty big, too, you know. Well, it was a member of Skull and Bones, okay, who came up with the process that makes gasoline out of oil. Okay, the very first oil company was called the New York, the Rock Oil Company of New York, the Pennsylvania Rock Oil Company of New York. It was owned by the Bissell family. And this was the first company to try and do something with oil other than use it as a medicinal or just as a real raw oil for some real raw type lamps. And as soon as this Professor Silliman issued his report where he said, "Gentlemen, it appears to me that your company may have in their possession a raw material from which, by a simple and not expensive process, they may manufacture very valuable products." After he issued that report, the Pennsylvania Rock Oil Company soon passed into the hands of investors from New Haven, Connecticut, where Skull and Bones is based, and the Bissell family and the Townsend family, who the Bissells had gone to for financing, soon had sons in the Order of Skull and Bones. And then that oil money was helped to build Yale University. It came from Harkness, who was a one of the early investors with Rockefeller and became the second largest holder of Standard Oil. And a lot of that money was used to build Yale. And when you look at Cleveland, where Rockefeller came from, at one time, Cleveland and the upper parts of Ohio were owned by a bunch of the families, the Phelps family and a bunch of other families that are in Skull and Bones. It's a very long story, but that's
no, but it's all in your book, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones?
A lot of it, that is.
All right.
I didn't quite get into the Western Reserve and the Ohio story, because that's a there's 720 pages in this book as it is, and that would take another 100 pages just to explain that all.
All right, let's go to Mike calling. Hi, Mike. Another question or comment?
Yeah, regarding Skull and Bones, what do you suppose the number 322 means?
All right, what is your thought on the number?
Well, there's a lots of different thoughts on it. One of the oldest thoughts is that 322 stands for 1832, and it's this, the second one is the second chapter of the German Secret Society. Another one is saying that that's, the society has something to do with De Montesquieu, and that was the year that he died, that his philosophy was founded on. Another is that there's some numerological aspects of it. 322 represents the symbolic dimensions for an isosceles triangle, with 3 as the base and the 2 as becoming equal sides. In an isosceles triangle, with the point of the apex representing a logos and the 2 equal sides represent masculine and feminine rays and different things. So there's and there's other explanations that I've seen.
Some people think that it has to do with Genesis 3:22, that you shall be as gods. So what these people do, Mike, is they have things with multiple meanings. It's like, you know, you look on the back of the dollar bill and you see the pyramid, and at the bottom of it in Roman numerals is the number 1776. Now, that could represent 1776, July 4th, when the Declaration of Independence was signed. It could mean May 1st, 1776, when Adam Weishaupt created the Order of the Illuminati.
Or December 5th, 1776, when Phi Beta Kappa was founded, which traces directly to Skull and Bones.
Okay, so I think that they have multiple meanings, so that, you know, when, of course, you point out, for instance, on the front of the King James, the New King James Bible, there is this occult symbol on the right lower quadrant that, of course, 3 intertwining sixes, very similar to the symbol of the Skull and Bone Society, the Aquarian movement. But, of course, Christians will say, but that represents the Trinity, you see. There are 3 aspects to the Trinity. That's what it's about. And the occultists will smile very comfortably and say, yeah, you go ahead and believe that. They all have dual meanings, because the number 666 is the number of the beast.
And again, I think that God is great and God is good, and I don't give much truck to the devil myself.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, anything else, Mike?
That's all, thank
you. Okay, fine. Thanks so much. All right, go ahead there. Now, we were talking about the Skull and Bones, and of course, it really came from a German secret society in 1832, just a few years after Adam Weishaupt had died, and Adam Weishaupt founded the Order of the Illuminati. And by that time, of course, the Illuminati had created the French Revolution, was involved with the revolutions all throughout Europe. And of course, it was also involved here in the United States. It had come to the United States about 1790, and we have articles written by George Washington about that. Anyway, it was the grandson of Jonathan Edwards. He'd given a talk, and he was the president of Yale University. Dwight Edwards, I think, was his name. And he gave a talk in 1798, about the influence of the Illuminati here in the United States. So these secret societies were here. Now, of course, to everybody makes fun of that today. But of course, it was really very real. My grandfather told my father about the Illuminati. Does the Illuminati exist today? Yes, it exists at the upper echelons of Masonry, because beyond the 33rd degree of Masonry are the secret satanic societies that Aleister Crowley writes about in his memoirs, how he was a 33rd degree Mason for 12 years before he was picked to go into the upper echelons of Masonry, where these other levels of Masonry exist. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. Are you there?
Just one more question. What would be the name of that German secret society?
Do you know the name of the German secret society?
It would be Illuminati. I mean, the Thule Society or the Thule Society didn't become into existence until in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
It would be
the Illuminati. I mean, the Illuminati was outlawed by the Bavarian government. In 1789, something like that. But it had already been infiltrated into Masonic works. And then there are many writers who claim that the Phi Beta Kappa was an extension of the Illuminati in America, and then that line traveled directly up to Yale. So there's a direct line from Skull and Bones to the Illuminati.
Okay.
The Illuminati take so many different forms with so many different front organizations over the years, and would there be a specific one that the Skull and Bones
In the 1830s, seems to me there were some reading societies that they were based in, but as far as our records, as far as Skull and Bones, we do know that there is a picture in the tomb of a group of the German society of the same year when they started the one in America. As to what particular name of that was, we do not know. It would have been at the University of Berlin.
So this was an extension of a German secret society. And, of course, you go into the tomb where the Skull and Bones meets at Yale. There are all sorts of Nazi memorabilia and swastikas and what's that doing in the fraternity that has given us our presidents? These are the questions that nobody wants to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, Mike?
Well, maybe your guest could talk a little about Schwarzenegger.
Well,
and I'll take the answer.
Well, I don't think that Schwarzenegger has anything to do with Skull and Bones, to my knowledge.
Well, he's a front man for the same group. I mean, you know, you have Bechtel and Schultz and Buffett and
but they're not Skull and Bones, are they?
No, they aren't Skull and Bones, but they're the same group. I mean,
well,
we're dealing with an octopus which has many organizations and many different arms, and Buffett definitely works with this group, and so does the Rothschilds. Russell and Company was acting as an agent for Rothschilds in the 1830s, and I don't think things have changed.
Okay, anything else? Mike's gone now. But anyway, of course, there are many, many parallel organizations, the Bohemian Group. We find the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Central Bankers, and the Great Tax-Exempt Foundations, and the Masons, and the Theosophists, and the Rosicrucians, all parallel organizations, all, of course, having their foundation in mysticism, all dedicated to the same goal. A one world order under a ruling elite and a new world religion. And of course, Skull and Bones is simply one of the most powerful ones that interlocks with all the others. And for instance, Henry Wriston, who was a member of Skull and Bones, then became the director of the Council on Foreign Relations for a number of years. We've got Bill calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi, really good. I wanted to ask your guest, has he ever heard, how do I put this, the Illuminati is essentially an interchangeable word with the Jesuit order, which
right,
is where it really started.
That's a legitimate question.
Weishaupt was a Jesuit, was and the university where he started was a Jesuit order. The Jesuits had been so mean to him that he was rebelling against it.
That's the story they floated.
I mean, the Roman Catholic Church right now, the Pope is Polish, right? And the British house, royal house, is a Germanic royal house. And
the Black Pope is German.
You're talking about the head of the Jesuits.
Well, yeah. I'm also talking about the head of the Roman Catholic Church is a Pole, too.
Yes.
And you know, I think that the control over these groups is fairly total. And I don't think that I don't know. I mean, I don't know the Pope. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But, you know, he got into there. The Pope before him was killed within 33 days. And then this guy was put in there.
We have an interview with Malachi Martin, Bill, mm-hmm. if you're interested in it. And it tells, of course, he was a Jesuit and faithful to the order. But he tells about how the election was held in the Vatican to replace the Pope who'd just been killed after 33 days in office. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there was another cardinal who was selected. And, of course, as he was about to go up to the podium to accept the nomination to become the Pope, somebody handed him a little note, and they said, if you accept the papacy, why, you will be killed, and everyone in your family will be killed. So he did not accept the papacy, and at that point, the current Pope became, of course, the pontiff of the Catholic Church. But
yes.
You have to go back into the Illuminati. The purpose of the Illuminati has always been to destroy Christendom, specifically the Catholic Church. So this is not a Jesuit order. The Jesuits certainly today play a part in this, but they're not the center of that. People will tell you about the book, The Vatican Assassins, but of course it is an effort to draw you away from the overall. Yes, the Jesuits are involved, at least many of the current order of the Jesuits, which is actually anti-Catholic, and that's one of the great tragedies of our time. And even the Vatican itself has been influenced by these same dark forces. And if you've never read the book Windswept House, written by Malachi Martin, who is a Jesuit, telling about the satanic ceremonies held in the basement of the Vatican. And of course, this isn't that everybody there is into Satanism, but there are certain people who are. And of course, it's a tragic, tragic story. If you'd ever be interested in that 4-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, it might perhaps put this into a little clearer view.
Well, I've heard some of your programs with him, mm-hmm. some of your interviews, and it's really great. I've just been furthering my knowledge on the Jesuit order, and it was actually founded to counteract the Protestant Reformation, and mm-hmm. they are sworn to eradicate mm-hmm. Protestants and Protestantism, mm-hmm. and anybody who will not bow to the Pope. And any Pope that has ever tried to overthrow the Jesuit order has died mysteriously, like the one you just mentioned, 33 days. So, yeah, it's really fascinating to try to find the head of this octopus that we've been studying for so many years, and it seems like it's very plausible that the Jesuit order is exactly that head. And it's all spiritual anyway, linked up to Babylon, so it's all pretty self-explanatory.
Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
I have it, Dr. Stan, and I haven't started reading it yet.
Shame on you, but read it and then let me know what you think afterwards.
Well,
okay?
I got about 30 books from you last year, and I think I'm through about 15 of them now.
All right, well, you got 15 more to go. God bless. Thanks so much.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, we're just about out of time, Chris. First of all, for our listeners out there, Chris's book, Flushing Out Skull and Bones, is available from Radio Liberty, The American Establishment, by Professor Sutton, also, which Chris publishes, we carry, and you need to have all of this information. And as Bill is saying, it's so confusing, and it's meant to be confusing, but each part of this, each one of these is part of the puzzle. Chris, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
You know, be careful in what you believe, okay, because there's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of conspiracy theory literature that is just there so that one side will hate the other side. I mean, I can find you books that tell you it's all the Jews' fault, it's all the Roman Catholics' fault, it's all the hippies' fault, it's all the conservatives' fault, it's all, you know, whose ever fault that they want. And the main thing is that everybody brings something to the table. And what it's going to take to get our country back is us coming together and realizing that us people, we are our own republic. We are our government. And all we need to do is stand up and take it back from these people, because all they really have is a virtual reality. They don't have you know, with all the power and everything they have in this in this war and this lie that they've been telling us, most that they can get together is 2.5, you know, 1,000 people in a southern military town. About 2.5 million people, you know, protested it in New York City, and that's what we need to do. We need to take back our republic. It is there for our taking, and we need to do something now, because what can our grandchildren do? What will they be able to do with the power that these people are amassing technologically to control us and our culture? Hello?
The hottest places in hell are reserved for those in a time of moral crisis. Maintain a position of neutrality till tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.